Election season is heating up. Of course, we've got the presidential race across the country, gubernatorial race in North Carolina heating up too, the U.S. Senate race as well. Joining us now with his take on the elections and where things stand nationally and here in North Carolina, public policy polling director Tom Jensen. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So the latest numbers from PPP are of Utah, which has never in my lifetime, I don't think, ever been a battleground state. It's always been pretty solidly red. But there has been a lot of talk about Donald Trump's popularity or lack thereof in Utah, particularly among Mormons who are just very strongly opposed to Trump. At least that's what we've been hearing. What actually is the state of things in the state of Utah? And is there a chance that this might turn into a close race there?
Well, Donald Trump, I think, is certainly going to win Utah, but the poll still does speak to how unpopular he is. We find that Trump gets 39% in Utah, and then other candidates combine to get 48%. So there's more people who don't want Trump than do want Trump, and it's quite possible that he's going to end up winning the state with something in the 40s. But the reason that it's not really a swing state is that even though 48% of voters want somebody other than Donald Trump, only half of those 48% want Hillary Clinton. So she's actually at 24%. She trails Trump by 15 points, 39-24. And then Utah probably is going to lead the country in terms of third-party support. The Libertarian Gary Johnson getting 12%, the newly entered conservative independent candidate Evan McMullen's getting 9%, and he's from Utah, so that's the reason for that. The Constitution Party candidate Darrell Castle at 2%, and then the Green Party candidate Jill Stein at 1%. So is Trump going to lose Utah? No. But does Utah show Trump's weakness? Yes, it does. And to put the 15-point margin for Trump in perspective, Mitt Romney won the state by 48 points, so Trump's doing 33 points worse than that. And John McCain won the state by 28 points, so Trump's doing 13 points worse than that. And just to sort of tie that all together, and I think what is sort of a remarkable thing that sort of sums up the state of the Trump campaign, Trump tweeted bragging this morning about his increasing lead in Utah in our poll. Came right from Trump's own Twitter, and it's like you're doing, you know, 33 points worse than 2012. You're doing 13 points worse than 2008. This is not something to be proud of. And if all you have to be proud of as the Republican candidate in 2016 is that you have a 15-point lead in Utah, it doesn't speak too well for your candidacy.
I was talking about this earlier. If Utah ever does become a battleground state, then it almost doesn't even matter at that point, right?
No, I mean, you know, the point at which a Democrat wins Utah is the point at which a Democrat's winning maybe even 500 electoral votes nationally. So, you know, people wanted to see if Hillary did have a chance, and it doesn't look like she does, but the poll still told us some interesting things.
I was interested in Evan McMullen polling 9% because I think that's the first time I've seen any poll at all that shows McMullen polling anything higher than zero. So that was a bit of a surprise, but he's from Utah. What about Gary Johnson? He's at 12% in Utah. I saw a poll of New Mexico that showed him at 16, which, again, he's from New Mexico, so no surprise there. But are we getting to the point where we talk about Gary Johnson and is maybe getting closer and closer to 15, or is he still too far away to talk about that?
Well, I don't think there's any chance that Gary Johnson's going to get to 15% to get in the debates. I mean, certainly that poll we did in New Mexico this week where he was at 16% is the best we found him doing in any poll. And if you're only sort of right on the cut line in your home state, you're not going to get over it in the national picture. But I think what is notable about Gary Johnson's support is it doesn't really seem to be fading. You know, we've talked a lot about how usually third-party candidates do better further away from the election, and then the closer the election comes, the worse those third-party candidates do. But Gary Johnson's kind of holding his own. He's still getting around 10% in a lot of national polls, and some of these state-specific polls, he's doing even a little bit better than that. So I definitely won't be surprised if Gary Johnson gets the highest level of support that a Libertarian nominee nationally has ever gotten. And I think that he'll probably get the highest level of support that any third-party candidate has gotten nationally, probably since Ross Perot. So Gary Johnson will have a little bit to hang his hat on.
I know it's varying from election to election, but is there a rough timeline sort of historically for when you start to see the third party candidates' numbers drop? We've talked before that it usually does, but do we know roughly when it usually does?
Well, it's a pretty gradual sort of thing, but usually at this point after the conventions, you would have already seen it started to drop. And I think, one thing it speaks to is that neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump with their convention sort of eased all of their party voters' concerns about them. So you do still see some Republicans going over to Gary Johnson, some Democrats going over to Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, when we've sort of reached a point where usually you'd have more people sort of on board with their own party. And of course, the other thing about it for Johnson is that we do have record numbers of independent voters in this country every election. Basically, fewer and fewer people are identifying as Democrats. More and more people are identifying as independents. So that increases the likelihood that somebody like Gary Johnson can do well, because you don't have as high a percentage of the electorate sort of strongly committed to either party.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website if you want to find the latest numbers. Utah, the most recently polled state, and you can get more numbers as well. I got to ask about this this other number from the Utah survey, which is that only 39% of voters in Utah say they think that Donald Trump can be trusted with nuclear weapons. 48% think he can't be. And that number would be in no way surprising, considering what Donald Trump has said and how he's comported himself on the campaign trail. Except the surprising thing for me is that 39% is exactly the same percentage of voters who are going to vote for Donald Trump in November. So on one level, and we said this before, Donald Trump has got to have the lowest possible bar of any presidential candidate I've ever seen, where all he has to do is convince people that he can be trusted with nuclear weapons, and then like literally everyone will vote for him, and he's just not able to do that. And then the other question that I have is, how many people answered no to the nuclear weapons question and are still voting for him in November?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that is pretty remarkable within the crosstabs on that question is that among people who say that they'll vote for Trump, only 72% of them think that he can be trusted with nuclear weapons. And 13% who say they're voting for Trump straight say that he can't be trusted with nuclear weapons. And then another 15% say they aren't sure. So I guess that's a real commentary on sort of the quality of our candidates in the minds of the electorate this year, that 28% of Donald Trump supporters aren't even sure that he can be trusted with nuclear weapons, but they dislike Hillary Clinton enough that they're willing to go for him anyway.
And then getting to that, you've got the same number that we've seen in North Carolina and Texas on whether if Clinton does end up winning the election. Trump has been saying on the campaign trail, and a lot of his surrogates on the talk shows have been sort of implying the same thing. And a lot of Trump voters seem to agree, like a sizable majority of Trump voters seem to agree, that if Hillary Clinton does end up winning the election, they're not going to believe it wasn't rigged.
Yeah, we found in Utah that 65% of Trump voters think that if Clinton wins the election, it will only be because it was rigged. Just 21% grant that it would actually just be because she got more votes. And one thing that we also found that was sort of interesting in Utah was we asked people, what percentage of votes do you think are cast fraudulently? And among Trump supporters, they think it's about 25% of the vote is fraudulent votes. And you sort of compare that to the reality that it's a fraction of 1%. There is just this sort of amazing perception of the level of voter irregularity that really just isn't true at all. And of course, Trump has done a lot to sort of fuel this thinking himself. So he sort of set the stage for November 9th after he loses, just, not admitting that he actually lost and just claiming that he was somehow wronged and that was what led to it.
That's got to be one of the most staggering numbers I've heard in this entire campaign cycle. The voters think 25% of the votes that are cast fraudulently?
Yeah, that's, wow. Well, among Trump voters.
Among Trump voters, still.
They're cast fraudulently, certainly not that high among Clinton people.
All right. We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. We're talking about the Utah survey that they just released nationally, taking a look at the numbers that you're coming back with and what other polling outfits are coming back with. Do you see this race tightening? Do you see Clinton expanding her lead? Seems to be kind of interesting numbers where the national race seems to be tightening a little bit after Clinton's post-convention bouts, but she's still holding on to those big leads in what we would think of as being sort of the swing states or the tipping point states where it'll determine who ends up winning the election. Clinton seems to be doing really well there, even if the race is tightening a little bit nationally. Is that what you're finding too?
Yeah, I really see it as a pretty steady race right now. She's up by 5 or 6 points nationally. You're not seeing some of those polls like you did earlier in the month where she would be up by like 15 or whatever, but 5 or 6 points is still a pretty solid lead to have. And certainly she's well ahead in the polls in almost every state that Barack Obama won in 2012. Iowa is looking pretty 50-50. Nevada is looking closer to 50-50. But, of course, those are states that are on the smaller end of the states that Obama won. So Clinton, I think, for the most part, looks like she's well positioned to win all the same states that Democrats won last time around. And then, North Carolina, I think it's been 4 or 5 polls in a row now that have Clinton ahead here. So to me, the most likely outcome if the election was today is that Clinton would win all those same states that Obama won last time, which would get her to 332 electoral votes, and then add North Carolina to that column as well for 347. I think even though the race is close right now in places like Georgia and Arizona and even South Carolina, I think if push came to shove, enough Republican-leaning voters would just hold their nose and vote for Trump, that he'd end up winning most of those places. But I do think that Clinton has a very good chance of basically replicating the 2012 map plus North Carolina, which for Obama is the same thing as what he won in 2008, minus Indiana. But at any rate, things are definitely shaping up well for her, both in the overall national picture and in the individual swing states.
Speaking with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. And Tom, before we let you go, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about North Carolina, where the latest public policy polling survey shows still a really close race for governor between Cooper and McCrory. Numbers that just came out this week from Monmouth University have Cooper up by 9 points, 52 to 43. Obviously, margin of errors being what it is, you can expect a little bit of a swing like that from survey to survey. But given what we know and the numbers that are coming back from various polling outfits and Pat McCrory acting the way that he is on the campaign trail, I think he's calling a press conference this week to announce that he's getting an endorsement from a police organization, which is great for him, but not sort of thing that you would call a press conference for if you weren't really, really concerned about your position in the election. Where do you think the actual election stands right now, knowing what we know about the surveys that have come in?
Well, what's really interesting is that even though Cooper has different size leads in the different polls, up 1 in ours, up 9 in Monmouth, 7 in Marist, 6 in CNN, what's really consistent in all of them is that Pat McCrory is getting 42-43%. And then it's Cooper's percentage that varies. Sometimes he's at 43-44. Sometimes he's up closer to 49 or 50. But I think it's telling for McCrory as the incumbent that he is stuck at 42 or 43% in all of these polls. And some of the polls like Monmouth are finding that the other 58% or a lot of that is willing to just say, right now I'm going to vote for Roy Cooper. We're finding more people who are undecided than some of the other polls, so then we don't have Cooper's lead as big. But that is, I think, the big story, is how consistently McCrory's at 42, 43%. So I always, even as the head of one specific polling company, tell people to pay attention to the averages. When you look at the average of the 4 North Carolina governor polls that have come out this month, Roy Cooper's up by 6 points. So I think there's a pretty good chance that right now Cooper's up somewhere in that 4 to 8 point range. And I think that certainly as we talk here on August 25th, things look the most perilous for McCrory that they have at any point during this whole campaign.
How much of that do you see as being House Bill 2 related? I know the narrative has been House Bill 2 has been hurting McCrory. At the same time, you've been surveying this race since way back in 2015, and it didn't seem to, the dynamic of the race didn't seem to change that much, at least in the PPP surveys before versus after House Bill 2 passed. But that's what's been getting all of the media attention. So how much of this do you think is related to that?
I think that HB2 really may end up being the tiebreaker in the governor's race. Mm-hmm. I think that it was always going to be a competitive race. But if these polls that are coming out from other organizations that have Cooper up by 6 or 7 points end up proving to be correct, I think there was a consensus among all polls 6 months ago that it was a 50-50 sort of race. So if you go from a 50-50 sort of race to one where, you know, it gets called for Roy Cooper at 10 o'clock on election night as opposed to really having to wait it out all night, I'm pretty sure that that is the damage done to Pat McCrory with suburban, independent, and moderate Republican voters who weren't sure which way they were going to go, and HB2 just ended up being the last straw for them in terms of thinking that Pat McCrory was remotely centrist.
I got to let you go in a second, but I have to ask, we just got the report earlier today that Vermont is canceling the women's basketball game with UNC out of protest against House Bill 2. And in terms of sort of the public reaction and the way that it's affecting what legislators and lawmakers and people actually in power are thinking about this bill, what would be the impact, do you think? We've had the Duke's basketball team has had to reschedule a game because Albany canceled a non-conference game, and Vermont is canceling the non-conference game with UNC. What would it take to move the dial in terms of public and sort of leadership reaction on House Bill 2? Would it make a difference if there was an ACC school that was a state level or a state funded public school that has the Albany issue of not being able to travel to North Carolina? That hasn't been something that's come up yet, but if it's a major, major game that ends up getting canceled, would that start to move the dial?
I honestly don't think there's anything that would change the minds of the Republicans in the legislature, because I just think that they think they're right, and that's the end of the story. So, you know, maybe if Pat McCrory loses and a bunch of Republicans in the legislature get wiped out, they'll change something to try to keep from, you know, having their problems compounded even further in 2018. But I think it's pretty clear that the legislature doesn't care what the people think about anything, and that's not just true on HB2, it's true on a bevy of things that they've done over the last couple of years.
Public Policy Polling is the website. Check it out for the Utah numbers. They've got national numbers coming out next week. A lot more surveys that have come out recently. Check those numbers out, too. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.